Well, as I mentioned a little earlier today, we're in the third week of a five-week message series called New Beginnings. With this being a new year and even a new decade, it's a great time to stop and take a look at our attitudes and our direction and spend some time revisiting what our faith has to say about how we approach life. In the first week, our focus was crossing that line from doubt to belief and how crossing that line and choosing to follow the ways of Jesus really gives us a foundation in which we can build our lives. And then last week, we looked at the story of a disciple by the name of Peter, the disciple who dared to get out of the boat and to walk on water towards Jesus. And we looked at these competing ideas that we're often faced with of taking risks or playing it safe. Now today, I'd like us to move on from there and look at how we handle bitterness. As bitterness is one of the most common roadblocks that keep us stuck and prevent us from moving forward. And as we look at that, I'd like you to hear these words from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 21 through 35. And today I'll be reading from the Message paraphrase where we read this. At that point, Peter got up the nerve to ask, "Master, how many times do I have to forgive a brother or sister who hurts me? Seven?" Jesus replied, "Seven, hardly. Try 70 times seven." The kingdom of God is like a king who decided to square accounts with his servants. As he got underway, one servant was brought before him who had run up a debt of $100,000. He couldn't pay up, so the king ordered the man, along with his wife, children, and goods, to be auctioned off at the slave market. The poor wretch threw himself at the king's feet and begged, "Give me a chance and I'll pay it all back." Touched by his plea, the king let him off, erasing the debt. The servant was no sooner out of the room when he came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him $10. He seized him by the throat and demanded, "Pay up now." The poor wretch threw himself down and begged, "Give me a chance and I'll pay it all back." But he wouldn't do it. He had him arrested and put in jail until the debt was paid. And when the other servants saw this going on, they were outraged and they brought a detailed report to the king. The king summoned the man and said, "You evil servant, I forgave your entire debt when you begged me for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be merciful to your fellow servant who asked for mercy?" The king was furious and put the screws to the man until he paid back his entire debt. And that's exactly what my Father in heaven is going to do to each one of you who doesn't forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask that you would speak to us today through these words of Scripture and through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, when I was first starting out as a lead pastor, I served a church that was just down the street from a large funeral home that did the bulk of the funeral business in our community. And the owner and I became good friends, and he would often call on me when there was a death and the family didn't have a church or have a pastor to officiate at the funeral. So I ended up doing about 2 to 3 funerals a month. It was a little side revenue for me, and occasionally family members of the deceased would start attending our church. But I learned pretty quickly that when there is a death of a loved one, that it can quite often reopen old wounds between family members. And that was especially true when there were large estates involved. I'll never forget this one funeral that I was called on to officiate. The guy was only in his mid-60s. He was the CEO of a major automotive supplier. He had 3 children, all in their 30s. All of the children were lawyers. And then there was his wife. How shall I put this? High maintenance. Well, when I headed into the conference room at the funeral home to meet with the family for the first time, the funeral director said to me, "Mark, if you need me to call the police, just stick your head out the door." I kind of thought he was kidding. But after spending 5 minutes with that family, I knew he was serious. Apparently, the deceased was pretty much an absentee father whose life revolved around his work far more than his wife and kids, and the resentment they had was palpable. Apparently, he was an absentee husband as well, who left behind a long list of mistresses. So everybody involved had these long lists, mile-long, not only with the deceased, but with each other, that they'd carried for decades. And the list just kept getting longer and longer and longer. There was just more bitterness and anger and hatred in that room than any place I've ever experienced before or since. The bitterness was so strong and so pronounced that it permeated every person in that room. You could just feel it as you walked in the door. It was incredibly intense. Proverbs 14:30 says this, "Peace of mind makes the body healthy, but bitterness is like a cancer." In our thought for today, Joyce Meyer put it this way, "I know from personal experience how damaging it can be to live with bitterness and unforgiveness. I like to say it's like taking poison and hoping your enemy will die." And it really is that harmful to us to live that way. Well, after meeting with the funeral director and after meeting with the family at the funeral home and walking them to the door, the funeral home director pulled me aside and asked me, "Mark, what in the world are you going to say at this funeral?" And at the moment, I'm like, "I have no idea." But just as he was asking me the question, two verses immediately popped into my head, two texts. And the first is from 1 Thessalonians 5:21. "Hold on to what is good and let go of every kind of evil." And then I thought of our text for today and the power of letting go of past debts and extending mercy. I'm sure that all of us can look back and remember people who've treated us unfairly. Maybe a person who lied about us or talked behind our backs. Maybe a person who had their own agendas and we just happened to get in the way. Maybe a parent or a sibling or an ex-something that we trusted and were vulnerable with only to have that trust abused. Chances are we've all been there. But the question that we need to answer is, how will we choose to handle the bitterness that often comes with being wrong? How long will I choose to carry a grudge or even seek revenge? When you think about it, we often talk about grudges in much the same way that we talk about caring for a baby. You can hold a grudge, you can carry a grudge, you can put a grudge on your shoulders and bear that grudge, or you can nurse a grudge. And when you nurse something, you feed it, which keeps it alive, which allows it to grow. And when you do that with a baby, you can do that with a grudge as well. You can feed it with hostile thoughts. You can feed it with angry feelings. You can feed it with disordered perceptions until eventually what was once a junior varsity grudge makes it to the big leagues. And the bigger it gets, the more you have invested in feeding it. Now, in the final verse of our scripture reading for today, verse 35, I find it very interesting that Eugene Peterson translates this verse differently than any of the other translations I looked at. Peterson translates it this way, "Forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy." None of the other translations I looked at include that little line about asking for mercy. And I think that's where we often get hung up. I know that for me personally, I usually don't have a problem in forgiving someone who asks me for forgiveness. The guy who rents our house back in Michigan called me this past week apologizing for his late payment. He'd been out of the country for several weeks and didn't get around to paying me. And immediately, my thought was, he's calling to see if I'll forgive that $100 late charge, which I was not, because it wasn't the first time he's done this. And the guy owns two Land Rovers and a boat at the yacht club, so I'm like, I'm not going to even consider that. But if he had lost his job or had a major emergency, I would have been more than willing to work with him and even forgive some of his debt. Please don't tell him that if you know. But after talking with him a while, my sense is that his sole purpose of calling was to repair any possible damage to our friendship because of his late payment. When I go in town, we often go out golfing together. I like the guy a lot, and I like his family. And I have to admit, I feel a little guilty that my first thought was about the late charge. But my point is that it's a lot easier to forgive when repentance is involved, isn't it? It's a lot easier to repair a relationship when someone steps up and says, you know, I'm sorry. In the Gospels, Jesus teaches that repentance comes before forgiveness and mercy. Repentance is an internal change of mind and heart rather than just mere sorrow for sin. But what happens when there's no repentance? When people wrong us and people never apologize? It happens a lot, doesn't it? The best advice that I believe comes from Scripture, let it go and put it in the hands of God. Don't hang on to grudges and bitterness. Don't let that stuff get a foothold in your life. Romans 12:19 puts it this way, never take revenge, leave it to God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. People ask you for forgiveness. Jesus says to Peter, forgive 70 times 7. It's infinity, not 490, it's infinity. People offend you and they don't ask forgiveness, give it to God. It's way above your pay grade. Don't carry it around like a 50-pound sack of potatoes that'll only wear you down and poison your spirit. You gotta find a way to let it go. In the Old Testament, there's this rather obscure character by the name of Lamech. You may never have heard of him, but I think he's kind of like the patron saint of grudges. Lamech is mentioned in the fourth chapter of Genesis. Well, one day somebody hurt Lamech. We don't know all the details. It might have been an accident, but it festered in him. The more he thought about it, the madder he got. It's the way bitterness works. The more you think about it, the more toxic it becomes. So Lamech decided to get even. And one day he picked up a rock and killed whoever it was who hurt him. You don't mess with that guy. And afterwards, he bragged about it. He expresses no sense of guilt, no remorse. In his mind, he was absolutely justified. His enemies had it coming. And that's the way bitterness works. You can justify almost anything if you get bitter enough. You hurt me, I'll hurt you back. I'll hurt you worse, I'll make you pay. In Genesis 4:24, Lamech is recorded as saying this, if 7 lives are taken to pay for killing Cain, 77 will be taken if anyone kills me. The 77 number represents infinity. It points to the fact that revenge is never satisfied. That's part of the reason for the crisis in the Middle East and so difficult to resolve, because it's a way of thinking, I'll never forget, I'll never forgive. And it goes on generation after generation after generation. A bitter spirit is never satisfied. A bitter spirit never says, okay, I've inflicted enough pain on you, now I feel content. It's never enough. But in the New Testament, Jesus laid out a new way of looking at things. In Matthew 5:21, Jesus said, you have heard, do not commit murder. Anyone who does will be brought to trial. But I tell you, if you're angry with your brother, you will be brought to trial. If you call your brother a worthless fool, you will be in danger of hell. So if you're about to offer your gift to God at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in the front of the altar and go make peace with your brother before you come back and offer your gift to God. Jesus was saying there's a lot of ways you can kill a body. And there's a lot of ways you can kill people in other ways, like harsh words and gossip. And you can do it with anger that you carry in your heart. And if you keep doing that day after day, week after week, over time you find where there once was a heart of love towards a husband or wife or towards a mom or dad or brother or sister, towards a friend or business partner, you're only now carrying bitterness. And all the joy and generosity and goodness and humanity gets choked right out of you. And the bitterness keeps you from ever becoming the kind of person that you want to be, and more importantly, the kind of person that God wants you to be. Judgment and coldness and anger and bitterness and meanness of spirit, all that stuff starts working inside of you, and it's just a matter of time until it pervades your whole personality and your soul. But Jesus came and said, there's an alternative. There's another way that you can respond to the hurts of life. You can forgive. In our scripture reading for today, it's obvious that Peter, one of the disciples, had been hurt by somebody. We don't know how. We don't know any of the details, but apparently it happened several times. And Peter says to Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive this guy? Like seven? And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Where do you think he got that number from? 70 times seven. Jesus knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards, and he chooses this formula very deliberately. He is now reversing the law of Lamech. He is saying, Peter, if you want to, you can follow the law of Lamech. You can harbor bitterness and resentment. You can carry a grudge for the rest of your life. You can do that if you want to do, or you can follow me. You can show mercy. You can forgive. You can let it go and put it in the hands of God. You can carry that grudge, or you can follow me, but you can't do both. Jesus said, for if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. That has to be among the most challenging words that Jesus offered. And Jesus says to us all that if we're walking around with unresolved bitterness and resentment and we refuse to do the work of forgiveness and to seek reconciliation with people, that we're at severe spiritual risk, that we're endangering and suffocating the Spirit of God in our lives. And we're tempted to think that somehow our bitterness will undo an injustice, that our bitterness will somehow pay back the people who have wronged us and caused us pain, but it won't. It only destroys God's Spirit within you and separates you from God. I know this is tough. It's not easy, especially when you've been deeply hurt and offended. But if you want to fill your life with the fruits of the Spirit, things like joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, you got to let it go. You got to let go of the bitterness. You got to let go of that grudge, which will only poison your soul and eat away your spirit. Well, in this series, we've been talking about new beginnings and fresh starts. And forgiveness gives us the ability to do just that. Just as Jesus forgives us when we fail and when we fall short, Jesus tells us to do the same. To let go of resentment, to let go of grudges, to let go of bitterness that poisons us, to let go of the need for revenge, and instead extend forgiveness and grace. I want to close with this quote that comes from Lewis Smedes. He was a longtime professor of theology and ethics at Fuller Seminary. He says this, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." Let's pray. Lord God, we know that this is hard stuff. Sometimes we get mistreated and wronged. Help us to move on and to let go of the need to get even. Help us to let go of bitterness and resentment and learn from the power of forgiveness. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.